Father in heaven, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word, just for the truths of it, to be reminded of these things is a blessing. We're thankful for the time together, and we pray that you continue to bless us in this hour, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So things above series, pivoting off of those two verses. In Colossians 3:1, 3:2, Colossians 3:2, and we changed the translation from the King James. You know, the idea of affection is not going to be completely accurate when we look at that Greek word. It's your frame of mind, your reflective thinking. And so it's, you know, set your frame of mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And as we've mentioned, the things above relate to our position in Christ and with what we share with Christ. And this is because we can see in verse 1, since you have been co-raised with him, we've been co-raised with Christ. That looks at our position in Christ, our sharing with Christ. We're in Christ by spirit baptism. And in these messages, we've looked at a number of things thus far related to our position in Christ. Most recently, we've reviewed a couple of things that relate to the believer having been baptized into Christ. The believer is part of the new creation. And so a new entity that wasn't formerly in existence now is in existence. And our being immersed into Christ we have a share in that. We have a part in that. And so we've seen in scripture and we've mentioned sometimes that new entity can be referred to as the Christ, speaking of the head and the body as one. And so, Christ our Lord is the head of the body and we ourselves were members. And that was the other part that we looked at is the believer as a part of the new creating. We're also a part of the body of Christ, and that reference to being a part of the body of Christ. Of course, Christ is the head of that body, but we have many members, yet one body. And so, you know, we've mentioned that the individual members of the body of Christ have different spiritual gifts and functions within the body, yet all of the members can and should contribute to the building up of the body. And we can see and we can be reminded that agape love is an important part of that. Well, today I want to consider another aspect that relates to these two things, being a part of the new creation, being a part of the body of Christ. This is speaking of the same thing, but it's communicating a little different emphasis. And so today we want to consider that the believer is part of the new man, the new man. And so this is another description, of the same thing, but with just a little different emphasis. And so when we talk about when this title is used, the new man, the new man, we just want to point out, it's not describing the individual. The new man, similar to when we talk about the new creation, we're not talking about the individual, but we're talking rather about the individual as a part of a single entity. And so the new man, when we consider the new man. And in Ephesians 2, we can see that the believer being a part of the new creating in Christ and being a member of his body, but he's also a part of the new man. And so just this title is describes the same thing. Now, when we see this title, New Man, I just want to mention it now in case I speed past it as we're in scripture. But the new, it can either be emphasizing new and time. So the title can pivot around a Greek word that means new and time, naos. Or it can also be used, there's a second Greek word for new, kainos, which is new in quality, new in quality. And, you know, and so when naos is used new in time, it's something recent, it's new, but new in quality kind of emphasizes that, you know, the implication is that it's superior. You know, something that's new in quality is going to be superior than something that's old or wearing out, obsolete. And so let's go back to Ephesians 10, and we'll just illustrate this. You'll see it's tied to our position in Christ. You see it's tied to you know, being a part of the new creating, the new creation, and being in the body of Christ. And we have this reference to the new man. So first, let's turn to Ephesians 2:10, just so we can connect this idea of created in Christ. And so in Ephesians 2:10, and here Paul says, for we are his workmanship. The his here is speaking of the Father, and we're the result of his doing. And we've talked about this before when we cross that word in the King James, workmanship. It's a ma ending on a Greek word that means to do or make. And so the ma ending and the result of an action. And so we are his workmanship, or the result of his doing, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so I just wanted to come here just to remind you of this idea of created. This word to create is to create something that wasn't formerly in existence. And so, and we've covered this, we are part of a new creating. God's creative activity was involved in bringing back the reality of the Christ, and with Christ himself as the head and having members of his, of a body, but yet being one entity. Now, if we just skip, I'm going to just skip right over to verse 15. And we're going to see this title, this description used, the new man here. And so we just want to illustrate this. And so speaking of Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, and he's talking here about the enmity that would be between Jew and Gentile because of the law. And it says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And then in our King James, we're going to change this. I'm going to suggest, at least so you know for yourself, but the word to make is actually from the root, the word to create. And it says, for to not make, but to create in himself. Of the two, talking about the two in the context that he's making reference to is Jew and Gentile. And so, to make in himself of the two into one new man. And so this new man, the word here for new is kainos, new in quality, new in quality. And as I said, we will see it again with the Greek word naos used, where it's kind of emphasizing new in time. But here it's emphasizing new in quality. Now, as we go forward, because we're going to see that in a couple contexts, we have this description or this title, the new man, and it's contrasted to the old man. And so we here we can see, though, that the new man refers to our being in Christ. And being in Christ, we're under the corporal headship of Christ. you know, part of the new man. And so how did we get into Christ? And hopefully some of you answered to yourselves. Well, we were immersed. We were baptized into Christ. We were immersed into Christ by spiritual baptism. That's how we entered into the new creating, the Christ, the body of Christ. And so we were baptized into Christ. And so when we were moved into Christ, we were moved into Christ in God's reckoning of us. This is what he reckons. This is what he counts to us. He imputes this to us. And so where were we reckoned or imputed to be before we were moved into Christ? We were backed into Christ. That means we weren't in Christ before we were moved into Christ. And so when we start to understand and think about the concept of imputation, we were formerly, before we were in Christ, we were in Adam. We were imputed to be in Adam under, we could say, the corporate headship of Adam. Things that were imputed and counted to Adam were counted to us. And so as a result, we were imputed to have sinned in Adam. That's something, we were all physically born with a sin nature. And so in Adam, we were condemned as part of a fallen human race, enslaved to the sin nature and easily manipulated by Satan. And these are all things that would relate to that condition of being in Adam. Let's just go back to Romans, Romans 5:12. Kind of carry this idea forward. Wherefore, through one man, and I'm going to add the ellipsis here, Adam, the sin entered into the world, and the death. And then we see we see the death through the sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all sinned. And so this all happened, just all sinned. In Adam. And so we didn't have to wait until we were at the age of accountability and to have our first sin before we were constituted sinners. Because we were born with a sin nature and a bent to do that which is lacking in character. We can see that all, we can trace all of this back to Adam and the fall of the human race, if you will. Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll pick up in verse 21. For since through a man came death, through man, and so we first, we're talking about Adam. For since through a man, Adam came death. Through a man came also the resurrection of the dead. That would be Christ. Now, when we get to verse 22, we have in the King James, in Adam, in Christ. These potentially could be understood as by Adam or by Christ. That does change a little bit of how you understand those as far as who the all refers to. But But as the King James reads here, it just says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so, you know, if we're translating this as locative, be made alive, this would be speaking of all those in Christ. You'd have to be in Christ first. If we translate this by, for by Adam all died, you know, all of humanity, even so by Christ shall all be made alive. That's true also, by the way. And that would include all of humanity will be raised to be judged in future time. And so anyway, I wanted to illustrate this. And so the reality of where God imputes a person to be can be witnessed by the manner of life that one lives. Now, before we were in Christ, we would have been enslaved to the sin nature. We would have been without defensive gets Satan. And so no matter how hard we tried in our own strength, our life would be a witness to the fact that we were in Adam. In Christ, the moment you were immersed into Christ at initial salvation, there's a new potential. And that new potential can be witnessed of the reality of the believer being in Christ. Remember, God sees things as they really are. And that's the reality, whether we want to recognize it or not. And we have a choice with these lives here on earth. You know, when we're carnal, we're not accurately reflecting the reality of our position. We might not be any different than an unbeliever when we're carnal. Even though in reality we are, we remain a child of God. We remain in Christ. But we may not be witnessing to the reality of what God sees. And so, you know, when we go to some of these contexts, I'm going to go to two where you have the old man and contrasted with the new man. And so I want to turn, first I'm going to go to back to Ephesians. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, first, I'm gonna start just to pick up this context in Ephesians 4:17, because this is helpful when we get to our context from Ephesians 4:22 and following, where we're gonna have the old man is gonna be referenced in Ephesians 4:22, and then the new man is gonna be referenced in Ephesians 4:24. But I believe this context prior to this does help, because we have a new potential, and that new potential requires us to, if we want to be a witness to the reality of our being in Christ, we're going to have to use our new thinking faculty. We're going to need to use our rational mind. That's where it begins in the Christian life. And so here we have a reference, and Paul does this a couple times in Ephesians, is kind of brings some things that would tie back to a believer prior to being saved or being in Christ. And so in verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, I'll just say, no longer walk. This word walk is interesting because walk has the idea of how we go about ordering the details of our life. He's saying that you all no longer walk as Gentiles walk. Remember, as soon as you were immersed into Christ, that distinction that you may have had of either being a Gentile or a Jew is no longer of any strength. It's, you know, those distinctions are gone in God's view. And so he says, you know, that you no longer walk as Gentiles walk. And how do they walk? How do they go about ordering their lives? He says, in the vanity of their mind. And the word vanity, and it seems like Dale and I, we've passed this verse quite a few times in the last few months. And this word vanity has the idea of the uselessness of their mind. You know, the unsaved mind is useless when it comes to spiritual matters, to God's way of seeing things and doing things. And we see a further description of that fact in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness, we'll translate that, hardness of their heart. And then in verse 19, he says, who being past feeling, having been calloused, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness associated with greediness, this covetousness. Now he says in verse 20, but you all, have not learned so, have not so learned the Christ. It's articular in the Greek, the Christ. This is one place I think you could potentially consider this as the use of the Christ to explain the new entity, the head and the body is one. Now he says in verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and been taught, not by him, but I would translate this as in him, you've been taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. Truth is based in reality. And so as Christians, if we want to live in the reality of what God imputes to us, we're going to have to relate to God's word and what he has said and seeing things as God sees things. And, you know, being a part of the new man relates to our position in Christ. It's one of those things that we can search out in scripture and be reminded of, that we're a part of the new man. It's a new creating. It's new in time. Now he goes on here in verse 22, and this is, all of that was just so we could have some context moving to this point. He says that you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man. And so to put off, it's an aorist middle voice. And so they're to do this for themselves, kind of like once and for all, to put off, kind of to lay it aside, your former manner of life, the old man. And old here has the idea of worn out, obsolete. So, you know, before we were in Christ, and so he's telling this to these Ephesians, but this could pertain to, you know, all believers. You know, we were all saved at a point in time. And so before we were in Christ, we all ordered our lives in the uselessness of our minds. We were enslaved to the sin nature. So we didn't have any option to live free from the sin nature before we were in Christ. And we also were easy targets to be manipulated by Satan. And so let's just let's go back to Ephesians 2:2 and 2:3 and see if Paul reminds them of their former state there in Ephesians 2:2. He says, where in time past you walked, here we have the word walked again, you ordered the details of your life according to the age of this world. The age of this world, the world system, can hold a lot of influence for people, especially those in Adam, the unsaved mankind. And so in times past, when we were unsaved, just as the Ephesians, we would have walked according to the age of this world. And he says here, according to the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit. So here we see we're talking about Satan, the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit that now works in not the children, but the sons of disobedience. And we see among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life that we conducted ourselves in times past, in the lust of the flesh, just doing the desires, doing the wishes of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so, you know, that gives you a little picture of where we would have previously been. And when that's the state we were in, we were witnessing to the fact that we were in Adam. And so coming back to Ephesians 4 then, and he says that you put off your former manner of life, the old man. So the old man is not talking about your sin nature, but it's talking about your position in Adam, where you were part of the fallen human race, enslaved to the sin nature, were easily manipulated by Satan. We would have ordered our lives according to the age of this world and so forth. And so put this off. Lay it aside for yourselves once and for all. And so this is, in other words, you know, this could relate to seeing yourself as God sees you. So you're going to lay this aside. You have something better, the old man, worn out, obsolete. And so you see, he goes, the reason to do this. So how are you going to do this, by the way? Let me just make that tie just so we make the connection, to put off your former manner of life, talking about putting off the old man. Well, you're going to count yourself dead to that. Dead to the sin nature. You're not, and so here we'll see the, you know, because you're doing one thing, and it's kind of a step-by-step process. On the one hand, you're doing this, and then on the other hand, you're doing something else. And so, you know, put off your former manner of life, the old man. He says, by the way, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And it's the idea, it's, which is being corrupted, the old man. It says it's a it's a present passive participle, which is being the idea of continuously being corrupted according to the strong desires of deceit. And so when you think of fallen mankind, those that are in Adam, you know, the whole character of fallen mankind that's being witnessed, it's growing more and more corrupt. You know, I used to be able to say that decades ago, and people would, you know, they might hear that, but they may not believe it because, well, you know, things seemed good. You know, society's progressing. There was lots of wealth, freedom. You know, things have changed a lot recently. And I think a lot of what we see in scripture, it's being unmasked. I mean, look at what's going on in the world. Look at what's going on with standards, morality. Things are waxing worse and worse. This verse kind of agrees with that when it says that, the old man is being corrupted. It's continuously waxing worse and worse according to the strong desires of deceit. And so, you know, we're to put off our former manner of life, the old man, to lay it aside. And so when we get to verse 23 and we've got this present passive infinitive, when it says, and be renewed, I just like to translate this to be renewed. To be renewed. It's a present passive. Somebody else is doing the renewing. And so to be renewed, we're going in other words, put off, lay aside, the former manner of life, the old man, to be renewed. And so the idea to be renewed here, it's a compound word. It has the idea to cause something to become new and different, with the implication of becoming superior. And so that was a definition from Lau and Nida, that this word to be renewed. But to be renewed. And so here we see, though, to be renewed, it's in or by the spirit of your mind. And so the spirit of your mind, the place where rational thinking takes place. You know, and this has been covered a number of times. We have a new thinking faculty. We have a new potential. We don't have to just operate in the uselessness of our mind like unsaved humanity. And so we can count ourselves. And we can put off our former manner of life, the old man, which is obsolete, to be renewed by the spirit of our mind. And then in verse 24, he says, and that you put on, and here's our title, this is what we're kind of emphasizing today, is the new man. Is that you put on the new man. And so to put on, and so again, this is another middle, aorist middle. You do this for yourself. You do this kind of like for once and for all. Okay, I'm not going to see myself as I used to see myself before I was saved. God's word has something to say about what he imputes to us, about our position in Christ. So you're going to put off your former manner of life, the old man, to be renewed by the spirit of your mind. To put on as an outer garment, this idea, put on for yourself as an outer garment, the new man. And so here again, this new man is kainos, new in quality. New in quality usually is far superior than something that's old and worn out or obsolete. And so to say that our position in Christ in the new man is far superior than our former position in Adam is an understatement. And so to put on for yourself the new man. And so again, here as we follow this up, here we see this, the new man. We're not talking about the individual, but we're talking about the individual being part of a single entity, as a member of the single entity. And so put on the new man. It's talking about putting on your position in Christ as part of, as the new creation, part of the Christ. And so how do we know that? Here we see the connection to the new creating. So, you know, put on the new man, which the King James just says, which after God is created. And so this is an aorist passive participle. And so just put on the new man, which was created. Which having been created. And just literally down from the God. And this was created down from the God, he says, in righteousness. And the King James says, true holiness. And so the word holiness here, it's not our normal word that you would translate holy. This relates to a verb that has the idea to purify. You could translate this to purity. And so talking about the new man, which was created down from the God in righteousness and purity of the truth. And so, in other words, this new creation and our being a part of it is completely in line with the divine requirements and attributes of righteousness and purity of the truth. It's based in reality, how God sees things. And so we can see it the same way. If we want to relate to what's real, we can go to God's word and count what God counts and witness to the fact of the reality of our being in Christ. So now he says, and so I'm going to pick this up in verse 25, because it's interesting here. It says, wherefore, it says, putting away lying. And so I want to retranslate this a little bit because of the Greek. And I'm going to go after this in detail, but I just want to maybe remind you of this or pique your interest of this if you haven't been taught this or related to this. It says, wherefore, and he uses an aorist, having put off the lie. Having put off the lie. It's articular in the Greek, having put off the lie. And the lie goes back to, you know, Satan's lie. And I'll summarize it this way. There's a number of ways to think about this, but I think the lie ultimately relates to Satan's lie to himself. You know, what he tempted Eve with is that the person or the individual's potential or the best they can do lies independent of God. That's kind of, you know, when I think of the lie, the specific lie, I think about independence. You know, the kind of the lie is saying that the creature can be better off independent from the creator. That's an absolute lie. Never, ever is that true. The created one, creation is always infinitely better in fellowship with God, not independent from God. And so anyway, Paul says, Wherefore, having put off the lie, and he says, speak everyone truth with his neighbor. His neighbor. And so neighbor here is, kind of used neighbor here would be used of other believers. And so speak everyone truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so anyway, this is one of the contexts where we have the old man and the new man contrasted. Now we have another one. And so, and this is in the chapter that we are pivoting off for this series, is in Colossians 3. So I want to go back here and pick this up. Now let's just be reminded of a few things. When we're, if we end up using any wisdom that would encourage us to live by the flesh, even if it has the appearance of wisdom, in Colossians 2:23, basically he says that's of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And so then we see, the encouragement for believers that since they're co-raised with Christ to keep seeking the things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. This would be things related to our position in Christ that can be searched out where in the Word of God. And when we find those things, and that's we're to keep setting our frame of mind or our reflective thinking on these things, not on the things of the earth. The things of the earth can influence to think about ourselves in a certain way that could supersede or eclipse what the Word of God tells us about who we are in Christ. And so we need to keep setting our frame of mind, our reflective thinking on these things. It becomes foundational. And so I want to skip down here in verse 5. You can see this into some of the things we've talked about in the past, have the importance of this in order to be free from the sin nature. He says in verse 5, therefore mortify. In verse 5, the idea to put to death or make dead. He says, your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists these things. The lust from the flesh, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection is just passion. Evil concupiscence is just the evil lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so, you're going to put to death, make dead your members to these things. Now we see in verse 6, he says, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And then we get to verse 7. It says, in the which, or just among whom, you also walked sometime when you lived in them. We didn't have a choice before we were saved. Remember, before we were in Christ, we didn't have an option. We were enslaved to the sin nature. We couldn't live free from the sin nature. The only thing we could try and do is to bend it. It's impossible to reform, but the sin nature can be bent. But that's no glory to God. You can't bend the sin nature and look good on the outside and be pleasing to God. We're going to have to live within the provisions of grace. And so we get to verse 8. He says, but now you also put off all of these. To put them off. And it's a middle voice. You put off all of these for yourself. All of these things he's going to list. And so anger, which is actually better translated wrath. And then wrath would be better translated inner anger, thumos here. And then malice. just that's lacking in character, evil, lacking in character, blasphemy, filthy communication, you know, just the idea of filthy speech out of your mouth. That's interesting. We get these lists and we can get these clusters where we have things that we could attribute to the flesh, the sin nature. Some things could be attributed to Satan. When we were in Adam, remember, we were enslaved to the sin nature and we were easily manipulated by Satan. We didn't even have a defense against Satan. And so he says here in verse 9, lie not one to another. Lying, attack from Satan. Just stop lying to one another. And then he says, seeing that you have put off the old man. You know, stop lying to one another, since you have, and the word put off here, it's a little stronger word. It has the idea of stripped off. Seeing you have stripped off the old man, the old, the obsolete, the inferior, with its practices. When we were in Adam, when we were a part of fallen human mankind, you know, we've got that description in Ephesians 2:2-3. We would have been ordering our lives according to the ruler of the authority of the air. We would have been living, you know, through the lust of the flesh. And, you know, as being manipulated by Satan, it's not uncommon. Unsaved man lying is perfectly acceptable. I cringe. I mean, so we all can lie. And I hope when we lie, I hope we, the moment a lie rolls off our tongue, that we regret it instantly and say, oh, he got me again. Because it pains me when I see Christians who can lie without even it bothering them. That should not be so. And so anyway, we know that Satan can still have victory over us, but we have a defense in our position in Christ. We don't have to be just easy targets. We don't have to be easily manipulated by him. And so here, when he says, and you have put off, you know, you have put off the old man. It's the idea of you've stripped off the old man. You did this for yourself once and for all. It's an aorist middle participle. Just having stripped off the old man with its practices. And then in verse 10, and have put on the new man, and put on as an outer garment, the new man, your position in Christ, part of the new man. Now here, this new, so our other references with new was kainos, the word that's translated new, which means new in quality, superior. Here, Paul chooses to use netos, new, young in time, kind of emphasizing that this is, something brand new. You know, and so for the believer, this would be new in time, something they couldn't do before. And so, and having put on the new man, which is, he says, renewed, being renewed, present passive participle. Somebody else is doing the renewing. This is anakainao, just made new in quality. Talking about the new man who is being renewed. It says in knowledge, it's just into full experiential knowledge. It's just being renewed. The new man is being renewed, made new in quality, into full experiential knowledge according to the image. Or image, we could translate that likeness. of the one who created him. The idea is the one who created him, the new man, speaking of Christ. And so he's being renewed into, made new in quality, the new man into a full experiential knowledge measured by or according to the likeness of the one who created him. And so we have this concept, this idea of the new man and a new entity, new in quality, new in time. We're a part of the new man. And kind of the idea here is, as the members of the body mature, the new man becomes more and more in line with the image of the one, the head of the new man, the one who created him, Christ himself. And so think of this, if every member of the body of Christ was in complete harmony and in line with their position in Christ, there would be no difference looking at, in a sense, spiritually, the head with the body. It would be one entity. Everything would be on the same page. Complete harmony. And so as believers, we have the potential to be a witness by how we order our lives, how we live our lives, can be a witness to that we are in Christ, part of the new creation, part of the Christ. And today, this little different description, part of the new man, new in quality, new in time. Now, I want to go one more place because we have a reference to the old man. And I have to go here because, well, some can teach that the old man is your sin nature. And so we've already shown that your old, the old man, in contrast to the new man, is not the individual, but it's the individual in Adam. And so if we go to Romans 6:6, and there's a word in here that's translated destroy, or just destroyed. And that's led to a lot of problems, quite frankly. You know, there's some that would like to teach believers that they no longer have a sin nature if they're a Christian. Boy, is that dangerous. because we see it right here in this context that the sin nature didn't die. It's the believer in their position in Christ that died to the sin nature. And so we died to it. It didn't die. And so as long as we are in these physical bodies, we have a sin nature with us. And that comes down from our physical fathers. And trace that all the way back to Adam. Back to Adam. And so, coming into Romans 6:6, here it says, knowing this, Romans 6:6, and this is experientially knowing this, by the way. Experientially knowing this, that our old man, and now this isn't our old man, it's not the sin nature, but it's ourselves in Adam. And so experientially knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And the idea of crucified, it's co-crucified. It's having been co-crucified, aorist passive. And so this is looking at our position in Christ, the crucifixion. That's specifically tying it to the cross work and the work that was going on the cross. And so knowing this, that our old man is co-crucified with him, that the body of the sin, so it's articular in the Greek, the body of the sin principle, the sin nature, and then the King James says, might be destroyed. And I want to just talk about this word because here's a place that the Greek, it's it's kind of nice, even if you don't know Greek, even if you don't want to know Greek, if you can grasp a little bit about language here, you'll understand that this word destroy doesn't mean to annihilate or to just to get rid of, to abolish. It has the idea. So this is the Greek word katargeto. So we've got a kata on the front of this word, which is a preposition that in the Greek, when these compound words with a preposition, it intensifies. So sometimes you might hear somebody from the pulpit use the word thorough or thoroughly. That's kind of intensifying the idea of the root meaning. And so that's what kata here kind of does. It has the idea of to thoroughly do something. It's intensifying. So if we take the kata off just for a minute, kata argeo. Argeo. What does argeo mean? It means to be inoperative. To be inoperative. And let me illustrate this a little further. Argeo is a verb, to be inoperative. There's a noun, argos, which is a noun. And argos is made up of the word ergon in the Greek, work, with an alpha privative. Now, you've probably heard that before, but what does that mean? In the Greek, if you take a word and you put an alpha privative, which just means the alpha letter before the word, it negates the meaning, or it has the idea of negates it. And so argos, so ergon is work, the alpha privative negates that. So argos just literally means inactive. Inactive. And argeo has the idea to be inoperative, out of business. And so when we get to katargeo, remember the kata intensifies to thoroughly be inoperative, out of business, inactive. And so that's the word that they translated destroyed here. doesn't have that concept of destroy. It has the idea that the sin, the body of the sin might be completely or thoroughly rendered inactive, inoperative. And so, so this is talking about, our position ourselves in Adam. That was co-crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be thoroughly rendered inoperative, that no longer we should serve as a slave the sin nature. Because we're no longer counted as having a position in Adam and being part of fallen mankind. We've been immersed into Christ, the new man. The new man is far superior. I mean, that's such an understatement for me to even say that. than the old man. But we have a new potential. And so we just see this, and I'll just end up here in Romans 6:4. We come back to that term, the idea to order our lives. And this, by this newness of life. Now, the newness of life in this context is talking about resurrection life. We have resurrection life because we're in Christ. And resurrection life is a life that's imputed to us and allows us to live free from the sin nature. When we're living free from the sin nature, then the life of Christ or eternal life can be manifested out. When that life is manifested out, guess what? You're a witness that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. So in Romans 6:4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into the death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, that word glory has the idea of opinion.
that becomes important in our present tense salvation. So he says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. It's our position in Christ that provides the foundation for our being able to live free from serving the sin nature as a slave. That has to happen before we can serve righteousness and work with God and manifest the eternal life. And so again, as we relate to these things and kind of tying this off with this concept, we're a part of the new creation. We're part of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, sometimes referred to as the Christ. And today we're a part of the new man. These are things that we should constantly be relating to in our thinking and framing our mind of seeing ourselves as God sees us. And, it's encouraging to know that, the reality of this isn't based upon what we feel or what we think or where it's based upon God and what he says and what he speaks and what he reveals to us. So we'll end there. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for these truths. We're thankful to be a part of the new man. And just to recognize that by grace you've provided for us that is superior to anything that we could have imagined or thought of or experienced prior to this salvation by grace. And may we be those that are ever learning to enjoy the provisions of grace and grow in our understanding and our experiential knowledge of these things. And thank you in Christ's name. Amen.